The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID-19 meets today as the government prepares to finalise its plan for exiting the Level 5 lockdown next week. With daily infection rates still well above the target set by NPHET for lifting restrictions, the Health Service Executive will today give an update on its testing and tracing programme, seen as crucial in bringing the pandemic under control. From the middle of next month, people who test positive for the virus will be asked to identify close contacts over the previous 7 days, rather than 48 hours at present. Paul Reid is Chief Executive of the HSE, and we can talk to him now. Very good afternoon to you, Paul Reid, and thanks for talking to us. Perhaps first of all, you can bring us up to date on the number of tests that you're currently carrying out and what you're finding in relation to the number of close contacts of each of those confirmed cases.
Yeah, Brian, if I take, year to date, we've completed over 1.8 million tests. But if I take just last week in particular, we tested about 78,000 tests, about 80,000 swabs in the community. So we've have seen a community reduction. In terms of close contacts, people have, particularly over the last few weeks, reduced their contacts. We were almost six and it's reduced to just over three. So, good support from the public in terms of reducing their contacts, but obviously a concern as we head into December to try sustain that level is a key one for us.
In terms of close contacts, it hasn't come down significantly on the basis of what you've said over the last couple of weeks since we've been in level five. Has it gone, if it's around three or three and a half, about as low as it would go?
Yeah, well, obviously we would want to keep it at the lowest level possible. But if you take, if we can get it down further, that would be it realistically. If we can keep it at those sustainable levels, it helps us hugely because I think, as you've seen, any kind of sharp reduction, increase in close contacts, even at a percentage level, has a very significant impact in the community transmission. So we would be always urging to get it down as low as we possibly can.
You plan, or the plan is to significantly expand testing by the middle of next month to go to this 7-day look back. Now that's the plan. Will it happen? Are the resources there and the staffing to be able to do that?
Yeah, just say a few things on it. First of all, and you've heard Mike Ryan from WHO say this before, the primary driver should always be speed. So we really have to stay focused on getting close contacts, and that has been a primary driver to date. Secondly, what is described as, we describe it now as source investigation, is what you would do when you get community transmissions levels down low, and that's exactly what we're doing now. What it would mean is we would be talking to people who are positive cases and going back over a 7-day period and trying to establish where were they, what kind of locations were they in, as you've mentioned, who they may have met, but particularly what locations, so we can try narrow it down into particular places that the transmission is happening, because, there can be super spreader locations as well as super spreader individuals, so we want to try get some further depth of knowledge on that.
But that depends, the effectiveness of that depends, we're told, on the numbers being relatively low. Now we're facing a relaxation of restrictions from next week. I think it's accepted that will lead to some increase in infections. Will that compromise your plans to expand testing and, I suppose, to begin to hunt the virus down?
Yeah, well, again, it most certainly will be helped by reduced transmission levels. If we got to the unsustainable levels that we were at in October, and as Europe is experiencing, it would make it more difficult. But what we are concentrating our resources on now, as we've reduced it and aim to keep it lower, is to do that further strengthened look back. We have increased our workforce over the last few weeks in particular. We've recruited over 500 people now up to this week in contact tracing, and we're continuing to bring that up to a full-time workforce of over 800, possibly 1,000. So we will continuously increase our workforce to aim to do this kind of process, which is, as Mike Ryan said, good to have, but the priority should always be speed as well.
We've had some positive news in relation to the development of safe and effective vaccines in the last couple of weeks. Would you expect health workers to be prioritised when and if vaccines become available? And if so, can they be persuaded to take up the vaccine? Because historically, there have been low levels of, for example, flu vaccine uptake by health workers.
Yeah, well, first of all, look, I think the news on the vaccines this week has given everybody a bit of hope and inspiration, because it's been a long dark tunnel and this has given us a little bit of light at the end of it. But there is still a good bit of way to go. The High Level Task Force, chaired by Brian McCrae, which I'm a member of, is going to finalise the strategy and implementation over the next couple of weeks and present it to government. And that will set out what we would call the sequencing of the vaccination programme. And obviously the whole methodology around it, and that's where it'll be clarified in terms of. But from a health worker perspective, obviously they would be key. We have seen a very significant, it's still not complete yet, but from the flu vaccine this year, a much stronger take-up of the flu vaccine by healthcare workers. But yes, it would be absolutely essential. Healthcare workers will take it up, and that's key.
Eimear Cook of the European Medicines Agency was telling us on this programme yesterday that she's very hopeful that approval could be achieved for some of these vaccines before the end of this year. How quickly after that might it be possible to begin a rollout of a vaccination programme here?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're finalising over the coming weeks. So what we know is that the EMA have to approve the regulatory process, and that would approve the vaccines. As quick as that would be done, then it starts to the delivery of those vaccines and the scale that the providers can deliver those vaccines in volume to us. But that's all the aspects of what we're looking at, and including many aspects of the workforce and other aspects that would be
realistically
utilised and applied.
Realistically, hardly before the end of the year, sometime in the early part of 2021.
I would say I'd be extremely optimistic to see something, you know, being rolled out before December. I hope it's possible. Certainly some of the providers are saying it will be possible, but you know, they still have to go through the process that they have to go through too.
Right. So the possibility at least of inoculations before the end of next month?
Again, it would, that would be on the high end of optimistic look at it. So I said realistically you're looking into early next year, more realistically. But let's hope if they can be delivered, that's where we're maximising our efforts to do.
Just finally, we'll be talking in a moment to the Children's Ombudsman about a report that he's published into a very seriously injured disabled boy who was left in hospital despite being cleared for discharge. It's a very distressing case. The report criticises TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, but also yourselves and the HSE for systemic failures and makes a series of recommendations. What's your response to this report?
Yeah, first of all, Brian, it is hugely distressing for everybody concerned, and not least of all for the reference to Jack in the case and the family. So we absolutely welcome the findings, recommendations from the Ombudsman. I personally have met the Ombudsman on this issue, in this case. Myself and the CEO of TUSLA have met. We've brought our combined teams together for a much better strengthened working between both agencies. Thankfully, we have very good investment as part of our National Service Plan, extra investment to support better processes and better investment around these kind of cases. But it is a very distressing case, and we need to strengthen our joint working. And that's exactly what myself and the CEO of TUSLA have committed to do.
Very good. Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the HSE, thank you for talking to us on the programme this lunch.